Todd's Road Grace Church, 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 Todd's Road 9 to 5 a.m.
Wednesday services are at 7 p.m.
Nursery is provided for all services.
For more information, visit our website at toddgracechurch.com.
Now here's our pastor,
Todd Nivert.
If you have a Bible, could you open to Ephesians chapter 1? I'm asking this question, must election be preached? The Bible teaches that God chose who would be saved before time began. There's no question about that. The word elect is found so many times in both Old and New Testaments. The Bible does teach this, and the question I'm asking is, must election be preached? Well, the short answer is, if the Bible teaches it, yes, it must be preached. But in Lexington, Kentucky, and I would say in the United States of America, probably over 90% of the religious institutions called by people churches would not preach election, that God chose who would be saved before time began. And I think that would be generous to say over 90% do not preach this holy revealed truth. And the people who do believe in election believe that you can preach the gospel without preaching election. They call it a family doctrine, something for the more mature believer, but it's not something that must be preached. So I'm asking this question, must the doctrine of election be preached? Now I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. I'm going to read verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now before I go on reading, do you know the only kind of blessings there are spiritual blessings? Men think of temporal blessings such as being healthy, being wealthy, being wise. Well, if you're healthy, that is a good thing, but if you're sick, it may be a better thing. And even if you're healthy now, something's going to kill you. You're going to die. If you're wealthy, well, it's nice to be able to pay your bills. It's nice to be able to go on vacation. But if that wealth keeps you from seeking the Lord, it's a curse rather than a blessing. You may have wisdom in this world, the wisdom to achieve. But if you live long enough, that wisdom will leave and you won't even know your name. These temporal blessings that the world seeks after may not be blessings at all, but the true blessings are spiritual blessings. And when Paul gives these spiritual blessings, the first blessing he mentions is election. Look in verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. Now, election. Who chose who? It says in our text, he chose us. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples in John chapter 15, verse 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. If you believe, it's not because of a choice you made, it's because God chose you to salvation. Acts chapter 13, verse 48 says, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the belief you have, the faith you have, is not the product of something in you. It's the gift of God. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. He chose us. Now, why did he choose us? Who is the us? Well, everyone who's chosen, the elect, those the Father gave Christ before the world began. When it says he chose us, that does not mean all men indiscriminately. It means all men he chose. Now, why did he choose us? Many people say, well, he looked down through the telescope of time and foresaw who would believe, and he chose those whom he foresaw would believe. Now, that is nonsense. That's not even reasonable. Of course, he foresaw who would believe because he ordained that they would believe. But to say that his choice was based upon foreseen faith is to make salvation dependent upon man and not God. No, he chose his people, as Paul said in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace. That's why he chose, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Now here's a third question. When was that choice made? Well, it says in our text, according as he hath chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, before time began. That's when this choice was made, before there was any creation at all. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Do you remember what the Lord said to the sheep? He said, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, he saved us, he called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which were given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, how did he choose us? Was it some kind of arbitrary choice where God said, I'm going to pick this one out to save him, I'm going to damn that other one? Not at all. It says, according as he hath chosen us in him. God's elect have never been viewed independently of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why they're chosen. That's why they're beloved. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Now that's the doctrine clearly stated. God chose who would be saved. Before time began, that choice was made in Christ, and everybody he chose to be saved is saved, must be saved, and will be saved. This is God's sovereign choice. Every one of these people will believe, they will repent, and they will end up in that great choir when time will be no more, singing, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Now, what I want to do is show how crucial election is to the preaching of the gospel. Now, listen to me carefully. The gospel of Jesus Christ cannot be preached if election is not preached. Someone who God has called to preach the gospel will preach election, every single one of them. And a man that does not preach election, God's sovereign choice of his people before time began, was never called of God to preach the gospel. Now, I like what one man said about election. He said, election is so. It's not deep. It's so. There's nothing hard to understand about it. What's hard to understand about this? You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Everybody understands that. Now, you might not like it. As a matter of fact, you may hate it, or you may hate the implications that election obviously brings. You know, there is in the mind of the natural man a natural prejudice against election, but election is true. Now, election. God's choice of his people before time began is a declaration of the character of God. You cannot preach the character of God and not preach election. Election is God being God. And there are no apologies for that. Whatever he does is right. And according to the Holy Scriptures, he chose who would be saved before time began. Now remember, God's eternal. He's not bound by space or time. And everything he does is eternal. He said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. This election of God speaks of his eternality. He's not bound by space or time. God is sovereign. He doeth according to his will. He saves whom he will. It's called his glory. When Moses said, I beseech you, show me your glory. He said, I'll make my goodness pass before you. I'll proclaim my name before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. Election is a declaration of God's independence. He doesn't have to have a reason to respond to anything. That's why election is called unconditional election. His reason for saving the elect is found only in himself. He's utterly independent. He's immutable. His affection cannot change toward his elect. God is love. Behold, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Election is a declaration of the character of God Almighty. You can't really preach his character and not preach election. God is a purpose. Listen, is a God of purpose. For the children, Romans 9:11, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. That's God's purpose. That salvation might not be of works, but of him that calleth. You cannot preach the character of God, and you cannot preach the true character of man, and not preach election. Now, if somebody leaves election out of the gospel, they have man having some ability to contribute to his salvation. The message is something like this: God wants to save you. He desires your salvation, but he can't save you unless you do something to enable him to save you. You've got to let him save you. You've got to come up with the faith. You've got to come up with the repentance. You've got to change your life. You need to fill in the blank. And it's a denial of what the Scripture teaches about man dead in trespasses and sins. Now, this is all man's fault. We can't say, well, I can't help it. God can't hold me responsible because I'm dead in trespasses and sins. No, it's an evil death. But men are by nature dead in trespasses and sins and cannot come to Christ. The Lord said in John 6:44 that no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Now, what election does, it comes to a man where he is, dead in sins, and quickens him, and gives him life, and causes him to call upon the Father, causes him to believe the gospel. All that God elected, they're going to be given life. But if I deny election, I'm saying man is not dead in sins, and man has some ability to contribute to his own salvation. And if you say that, you take away the glory from God in salvation. Now, without election, there is really no understanding of the cross. Now hear me very carefully. Without election, there is really no understanding of the cross. The vast majority of what goes on under the name of Christianity teaches what is known as universal redemption. Now, simply stated, that is saying that God wants every man, woman, boy, and girl in the world to be saved. That's his desire. So he gave Christ to die for the sins of all humanity and make a payment for all humanity. But as to whether or not you're saved, it's up to you. It's up to whether or not you accept what he did for you or whether or not you reject what he did for you. The determining factor of your salvation is in your hands. God wants to save you. God loves you. Christ died for you. But as to whether or not you're saved, it's up to some kind of decision you make as to what you're going to let God do. Now, there's not a drop of gospel in that message. That's a message of salvation by works. And if that's what you believe, you've not believed the gospel yet. I pray that God will grant you repentance. Now, when we talk about the death of Christ, here's a scripture. 1 Corinthians 15:3, it's how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Now, when Paul made that statement, he's talking about the Old Testament scriptures. It's the Old Testament scriptures that define to us what the death of Christ actually is, who he is, who he came for, and what he accomplished. Now, let me give one example of the death of Christ from the Old Testament scriptures. I could give hundreds, but let me just give this one, the Passover. Most of you have heard of the Passover, I suppose. That's the 10th plague when God was going to pass through the land of Egypt and destroy all the firstborn. But for Israel, they were to kill a lamb without spot and without blemish, picturing the perfect Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and take that blood and put it over the lintel and doorpost of the house. And God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now let me ask four questions. Was the blood over everybody's door in Egypt? The answer is no. There were many who cried out that night at the death of their firstborn. The blood was not over everybody's door. Remember, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Now, the second question is, was there anybody in one of the houses where the blood was over the door that was destroyed anyway? Perhaps that very day they'd committed some horrible secret sin. If they were in the house with the blood over the door, were they destroyed anyway? The answer is absolutely not. Everybody in the house with the blood over the door, God passed by in mercy. Third question, what was God looking for? He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Not when I see your faith or your repentance or your sincerity or how you've straightened up your life and turned over a new leaf and you've given up all your sins. No, he didn't say anything like that. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now, that's gospel, my friend. And the fourth question I want to ask is, who had to see the blood? He didn't say, when you see the blood. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now, you go into the New Testament. Matthew 1:21, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He said in John 6:39, this is the will of him that sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. I lay down my life for the sheep, not goats, for the sheep. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Feed the church, Acts 20:28, feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Now understand this, on Calvary's tree, Christ was not making salvation available or potential. He wasn't throwing it out there, it's up for your acceptance for a rejection. His death on Calvary's tree was an accomplishment. When he said, it is finished, the salvation of all of the elect was accomplished. Now, if I see the death of Christ as simply trying to make a way for God to save, I've missed the entire meaning of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no understanding of the cross of Christ apart from election. And you cannot preach the life-giving work of God, the Holy Spirit, without election. You can't really understand the work of God, the Holy Spirit, in regeneration without election. Now understand this, giving of life, men are dead in sins, and there is such a thing as the giving of life, spiritual life, is attributed to God the Father. And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. It's attributed to God the Son. The Son quickeneth whom he will. It's attributed to God the Holy Spirit. The flesh profits nothing. It's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Now, God the Holy Spirit comes to those that God elected and Christ died for. And because God elected them and Christ died for them, he says, live. And they are given spiritual life. They're born of the Spirit. They're born again. They're given spiritual life. And they now see the beauty of the gospel. They see the beauty of Christ crucified. They see the beauty of what Christ accomplished on the cross. They rest in him and him alone. They look nowhere but Christ. That's because they've been born of the Spirit. And there is no understanding of the work of God the Holy Spirit apart from an understanding that he is doing what he's doing for the elect. The wind blows where it wills. You hear the sound thereof and canst not tell whither it come or whether it goes. Even so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And this happens through the preaching of the gospel and believing the gospel. It's the gospel that's the power of God unto salvation. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Now, the issue of election, listen real carefully. You can't preach the character of God without preaching election. You can't preach the character of man without preaching election. You can't preach the cross, what the Lord actually did, without election. You can't preach the work of God, the Holy Spirit, without some understanding of the doctrine of election. The issue of election is grace. It is impossible to preach grace, salvation by grace, salvation all of grace, and not preach election. If a preacher does not preach election, he does not preach grace. And if a preacher believes election and covers it up or preaches it or presents it in such a way as to try to not offend the natural man, shame on him. He is not preaching the grace of God. Election is salvation by grace. Now, take away the letter G from grace, and you're left with race. Only the swiftest and the strongest win. But thank God for election, because in election, the chief of sinners can be saved. You see, the only thing that will prevent a man from delighting in election is self-righteousness. You think it's wrong, you think it's unfair, and you don't see that you're a sinner. You don't see that God's holy, and you don't see that you're a sinner. But if you ever see that you're a sinner and that you deserve to be sent to hell, you're going to say, thank God for election. As a matter of fact, it's only when you're confronted with election that you'll cry for mercy. You're going to find out that salvation doesn't have anything to do with your works. Only then, when you find out that salvation has nothing to do with your works, and you can't save yourself, will you cry out for mercy? You know, you really can't even preach faith without preaching election. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Repentance is the gift of God. It's not something worked up by the natural man. Now, there are a lot of objections people will bring against this holy truth. Somebody says, well, this doctrine will lead to an indifference toward holiness. What can I do? There's nothing I can do. Therefore, there will be an indifference toward holiness. But what does the text say? According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. The only way there will be holiness is because of this holy truth of the doctrine of election, God's choice of his people to be holy, to be just like his Son. So you can't use this as an argument against holiness. God, in electing mercy, is the cause of holiness. Somebody says, but election will destroy a zeal for evangelism. If you believe that God has an elect people, you won't bother to evangelize and witness. That's just not so. Paul said, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. Paul knew everywhere he would go, he would be beat, whipped, thrown into jail for his preaching, but he was willing to do it all because he knew God had an elect people and that they were going to be brought to hear the gospel. I think of what the Lord said to Paul in a vision by the night, in the night in Acts chapter 18. Be not afraid, Paul. Hold not thy peace, for I have much people in this city. And that's what inspired Paul to continue to preach the gospel there. I think of what God said to Ananias. He said, you go to Paul, and Ananias said, I know what kind of man he is. He was afraid. And God said to Ananias, he's a chosen vessel to me. He's one of my elect. And so when Ananias comes to Paul, the first thing Paul heard was, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldst know his will, and hear his voice, and see that just one. You see, election is the great stripping doctrine. People say, well, you shouldn't preach election to unbelievers. That's exactly what they need to hear, that they cannot save themselves and that they're in the hands of a sovereign God who can do with them whatsoever he's pleased to do. You know, it's only when you see that that you'll cry for mercy. Otherwise, you'll think salvation comes to you because of something you do. But when you see it can't come to you by something you do, only then will you cry for mercy. And if someone says, but it seems unfair for God to choose some and pass by others. Now, the only reason you would say it's unfair is self-righteousness. That's, you're standing in judgment on God. You're saying, I wouldn't do this. God's wrong in doing this. God's right. And me and you are wrong. God's always right. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? And there's nothing unfair about it. You see, election doesn't cause people to be damned who might have otherwise been saved. Election causes people to be saved who would have most certainly otherwise been damned had God not chose them and given them to his Son and his Son suffer and die for them. And you know, in the early church, election was common conversation. When Peter wrote his general epistle, he wrote to those who were elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. And when he closed the epistle, he said, the church of Babylon elected together salute you. John wrote to the elect lady, and he said, the children of thy elect sister greet thee. This was just the common conversation of the early church. Now, can the gospel be preached and you not preach election? The answer is no. Now, we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Nybert praying that God will be pleased to make himself known to you. That's our prayer. Amen.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.